last week we started looking at three separate miracles, all involving the catching of fish, and all occurring on three different parts of the Sea of Galilee. We see these are recorded in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, the miracle of the draught of fishes. Matthew 17, we have the miracle of the tribute money and the fish's mouth. And in John chapter 21, after the resurrection of Christ, we have a second drought of fishes. In each miracle, of course, Christ is seen as the great provider. Also, we see in each miracle there was the use of means. There was the human ability to fish. These were experienced fishermen in each of these miracles. In addition to human ability, there was the material means to catch fish. We see in Luke chapter 5 and verse 4, we see that there were nets. In John 21:6, there was a net, singular. And then in Matthew chapter 17, verse 27, that there was a hook. So there was ability, there was the means to catch fish, but as we see, that ability and means of themselves do not assure success. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 5, Luke 5, verse 5, notice we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. We have labored all the night with all of our experience, with all of our ability, with all of our equipment, and have taken nothing. Nothing. Again, human ability and the best of means can still lead to nothing. To nothing. John chapter 21, verse 3. John chapter 21 and verse 3. The very last part of that verse, and that night they caught nothing. So again, ability and means, and yet it equaled nothing. That alone should teach us that we do not put too much confidence in ability, that we do not put too much confidence in the best of means, because you can have both of those and still have nothing. Now again, the Lord could have, had he so chosen, he could have had the apostles just sit back in the boat in Luke chapter 5 and John chapter 21 and have the fish jump into the boat with no use of nets at all. But that's not what he did. We see that he commanded them to use the means that they had. But it was not the means that they had, nor was it their ability, that caught the fish, because, again, they caught nothing. The difference was the Lord. And we see the Lord gave them a command to use the means that they had. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 4, he said, "Let down your nets for a draught." We see in John 21, "Let down your net." And he told Peter, "Cast a hook." But again, in each miracle, there was the use of means. Now, these three miracles illustrate a lot of different things about the Lord. There, of course, is the illustration of Christ's omniscience, that is, his wisdom, his knowledge. He knew where the fish were. Not only did he know where the fish were, I believe the apostles knew where the fish were as well, but not like the Lord, of course. He knew where the fish were, but not only that, he knew what the fish would do, because he controlled what they would do. Because he knew, he could speak with absolute certainty. Launch out into the deep. Again, he knew where the fish would be. Let down your nets for a draught. Again, he knew what the fish would do. He knew he would lead, he would guide those fish into the net. John 21 and verse 6, he said, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Again, he knew where they were, but he knew what they would do. And the reason, again, he knew what they would do is because he was controlling the movements. He was controlling the direction of those fish. He said to Peter, he said, go thou to the sea, that is the Sea of Galilee, cast a hook, take up the fish that first cometh up, the very first fish you catch, and when you open his mouth, you will find the piece of money, and take that piece of money and go pay the tax. Here we see in Luke 5 and John 21, we have a multitude of fish. Here in Matthew chapter 17, there is one particular fish. It's not just any fish. It's one particular fish. The fish that first cometh up. He knew where that fish would be. He knew where that one, he knew what that one particular fish would do. He knew what the final result would be. He knew that there would be a piece of money sufficient to pay the tribute in that one particular fish. Now, how did the money get in that fish? The Lord put it there. The Lord caused the fish to eat the money? I don't know. Did the Lord just put the money there? I don't know. But the fact is, the Lord knew. He had perfect knowledge of animate and inanimate creation. And that's still true today. Why people fight so hard against this truth is beyond me. There is great comfort in knowing that God knows, and he knows what each one will do because he causes it. He is the cause. We see there's also an illustration of the Lord's dominion. The Lord is over all things, as Brother Kevin was just speaking about. In Luke chapter 5, Christ directed the apostles to the deep waters, and we read that he sent a multitude of fishes. He sent a multitude of fishes into the apostles' nets. In John chapter 21, Christ instructed the apostles to cast their nets on the right side of the ship, and we read that they caught 153 fish. Notice in John 21 and verse 11. John 21, verse 11. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, that is, large fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And people have been trying to figure out for centuries, what is the meaning of 153? I don't really care. But he caught 153 fish. Who directed those fish into the net? The Lord did. 153. Why not 154? Why not 152? Because he chose 153. It's plain and simple. That's the Lord's business. Why 153? Why in Luke chapter 5 a great multitude of fish? And here a specific, we are told, a specific number of fish. And then we see in Matthew 17, one fish. But in it all, the Lord was in control. It shows his dominion over all things. It shows his sovereignty over all things. It shows his superiority over all things. It shows his mastery. It shows his control. The Lord is sovereign. Again, why people would fight against that? I know why. It is because they want to be sovereign. They want to be in control. But if you know anything about man, and if you know anything about God, you would desire for God to be in control. He is sovereign. He has mastery and control. He is preeminent over all things. And we see Christ put, not only put, now you think about Matthew 17, because that amazes me. The miracle of the tribute money is an amazing thing. But you think about that. He told Peter to go down to the Sea of Galilee, and the Lord not only put the tribute money in one particular fish's mouth, but he led that fish to Peter's bait. If Peter had bait, because all the Lord said was cast in a hook. I don't know that he had bait. He had hook. But so the tribute money is in one fish's mouth, and the Lord led that one fish to Peter's bait. Now, you think about that. That means, since the Lord said you catch the very first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you'll find the tribute money. Does that not also mean that Christ prevented any other fish from getting to that net or getting to that hook first? He not only led that one particular fish, he kept all the other fish from getting there first. Again, it shows that the Lord is in absolute control. There are no mishaps. There are no accidents. Everything is under the control of God. And as you look back on your life, it's more difficult to see it in the present. But as you look back on your life, you can see God's hand. You can see the control of God. You see, God not only leads you and I individually, but he also prevents others from doing many things. He prevents the Lord, who could direct this one fish to this one hook and prevented all the other fish from getting there first. The Lord, that same Lord, does the same thing with disease, sickness, with people, and everything. It's just like in When God told Adam and Eve to name the animals, Adam and Eve didn't have to go out and look for the animals. God brought the animals to them. And God not only brought the animals to Adam and Eve, he brought them in a specific order to Adam and Eve. We see the same thing with Noah. Noah didn't have to go out looking for the animals two by two. God, we read in Genesis that God brought the animals to him. And yet, if you talk today and say, God led a certain animal in my path, people look at you like you're nuts. But it's the truth. God is in absolute control. How was it during the 10 plagues? You have another wonderful example of God in absolute control, absolute dominion over the animal kingdom. He sent flies. He sent frogs. And yet in the houses of Israel, there were no flies. There were no frogs. But only in the houses of the Egyptians. That shows that God is in control of all those things. And I believe with all of my heart, if a fly passes by, God sent that fly. If an ant crosses my path, God sent that. God is in absolute control of all things, which should teach you and I, of course, to trust him, to just lean upon the Lord. And knowing that God is in absolute control, I don't have to figure it out. Oh, that I would learn that. I don't have to figure it out. There's no need for me to figure it out. God's in control. As long as he has it figured out, that's all you and I have to worry about. And we don't have to worry about that. Each miracle also illustrates the value of obedience to the Lord. Prior to each miracle, there was specific instruction for that particular time and for that particular circumstance. Three separate times, in three separate places, under three separate set of circumstances, Christ issues a command. And following the command is a promise. And you will find in the Word of God that usually, not always, but usually, when the Lord issues a command, he also issues a promise. But God, and God can promise because God knows. You and I can promise many things, but we can't guarantee anything. Only God can do that. But he said, go thou to the sea, cast in a hook, take the first fish that cometh up, and when you open them out, thou shalt find a piece of money. Thou shalt. You do this, you cast in the hook, and you open that first fish's mouth, and thou shalt find a piece of money. Now, what if Peter cast in the hook, caught the first fish, threw it back, caught a second fish? Would that tribute money have been in the second fish's mouth? No. It was in the first fish. Peter must obey. Peter must obey. You open that fish's mouth, and thou shalt find. You see, many people are trying to find, but they're trying to do it their way instead of doing it God's way. And you're not going to find that way. It was in that first fish's mouth. Now, Peter could have said, that doesn't make an ounce of sense. It makes sense that I cast in a hook. But it does not make any sense that I'll just open that fish's mouth and there it is, the money that we need to pay the tax. Doesn't have to make sense. Peter didn't say, well, Lord, how are you going to do that? You don't need to know. All you need to do is cast in the hook. Open, catch that first fish, open that fish's mouth, take the tribute money, and pay the tax. That's what you do. You don't have to ask, well, how's he going to do that? But yet, that's our nature. It's our nature to ask, well, how? Lord, how are you going to do that? And many times we put ourselves in a box and we don't act until we know how the Lord is going to do such and such. He went on in Luke chapter 5. He said, launch out in the deep, let down your nets for a draught. Again, there was a promise. Let down your nets and there will be a multitude of fish. John 21, he said, cast thy net on the right side and ye shall find. What did they find? They found 153 fish. So in each miracle, there was a command. There was a command. In each miracle, there was also obedience to Christ's command. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 5, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, so great that the net broke. And when the net broke, I imagine some fish escaped. Again, that the Lord was in control of that as well. But, and when they had done this, when they had done this, when they had done exactly what the Lord said, there was a miracle. You know, a lot of people are expecting miracles and they're doing just the opposite of what the Lord says. We see in this case they did what they were told and Christ performed a miracle. John 21 verse 6, they cast therefore, that is they obeyed. And now, after they obeyed, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. But notice in Luke chapter 5 and verse 5, in each of these cases, in each of these miracles, their obedience was unquestioning. I mean, if God tells us to do something and we question it, the whole time we're questioning, we're disobedient. We're disobedient. Their obedience was unquestioning. Their obedience was immediate. We delay because we ask questions. They didn't question. And therefore, their obedience was immediate. It was exact. When the Lord said, cast the net on the right side, they didn't cast it on the left side. They cast it on the right side. They didn't cast it in the front of the boat. They didn't cast it in the rear of the boat. Their obedience was exact. And somehow people have thought that the Lord tells us to do something and we can make alterations because we know our circumstances. The Lord knows your circumstances. Just do exactly what he says. But it doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to. It doesn't have to. That'll never work. Yes, it will. Do it God's way. Do it without question. Do it without hesitation. And do it exactly as the Lord said. Luke 5, verse 5, it says, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. That's all they needed. The Lord said so. That's all they needed. At thy word, Lord, because you have told us, because you have spoken it, we will do this. That's all we need. That's the only reason we need. That's the only incentive we need. The Lord said to. You don't have to explain it to anybody. You don't have to figure it out. It's just this simple. The Lord said it. Do it. And all through the Word of God, there is a close connection between obedience and the miraculous. So from these three miracles, we see that we may possess ability, we may possess the material means, and still have nothing. We put too much emphasis upon human ability, and we put too much emphasis upon material means. And in so doing, we forget the Lord's ability. The Lord's ability. And the Lord's ability to do miraculous things with or without the use of means. Sometimes the Lord will bring us to a position of nothing. Did he not bring these apostles in Luke chapter 5 and John chapter 21? Was it not the Lord that brought them to a position of nothing? Was it not the Lord that brought them to a place of emptiness, which would cause them to realize that it was he that had everything they needed? Sad to say, that's the only way we learn that lesson most of the time. The only way we really learn that he has everything we need is we have to be brought to a position of nothing. We have to be brought to a position of emptiness. And after we learn that lesson, in time, we'll forget it. We'll forget it and we'll have to be taught again. That's the way we are. By nature. We are absolutely dependent upon God for everything. So therefore, why do we put so much emphasis upon ability? Why do we put so much emphasis upon means? He's in control. And that's where the emphasis needs to be. We see also in these miracles, we see it is the Lord that gives instruction. It is the Lord that gives guidance. And it is the Lord that commands. And our responsibility is to trust him enough to obey him. To trust him enough to obey him. And then once we have done that, we can expect whatever it is, whatever promise has been attached to the command. We can expect it. We can expect it because the Lord said so. You see, a lot of God's people are expecting things, but they have no basis to base their expectations. There's no better basis than the Lord said. We expect this because the Lord said. There is no better basis than that. So there are many things that we learn from these three miracles, the main being that God's in control. And that is who we need to trust. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for many lessons.